I've wanted to do this one for a while. Growing up, this is probably one of my favorite movies.
It's a good movie. I definitely think I've seen it before, but like part of me was like, no, and then other parts of me were like, yes, and then you wouldn't confirm the thing that I thought the whole time.
When you had said that, I realized that you had seen it before, but you couldn't remember. So I was like, you know what? Let him just watch the movie. Stop asking me questions.
But
I'm not going to give you the
I'm
answer.
getting these flying bits of information when I see scenes, and I'm just like, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. There's something like red flags going off in my head where I'm like, you know this.
This week we did The Uninvited, which stars Emily Browning and Elizabeth Banks.
And knock off Mandy
Oh my god, that was so funny.
Moore.
Is that Mandy Moore? No. No, it's not.
I don't remember what she looks like. She needs to be more famous again.
Oh, okay.
Then I'll remember her.
I like this movie. I mean, yes, it was PG-13. There wasn't really a lot of like blood or guts or anything like that, which was fine. It was more of like a psychological mindfuck kind of movie.
Some underwear.
Yeah, I
Not
guess.
really great underwear, but it was underwear.
Yeah, and her cute outfit.
Her definition of cute, like, I know she was locked up for a while, but, like, she can't be that out of fashion.
Right, because the movie starts with her being locked away in a mental institution, talking to her psychiatrist, and talking about how he thinks that she's ready to go home and be okay with everything that had happened. You did see before that, though, that like the house blew up, and then she ends up in the psych ward. It says 10 months later or something like that. So something traumatic had happened that had put her in there. Her house, her boathouse blew up. Fucking rich people.
Yeah, if you can afford a boathouse that's that big
Yeah.
in Maine,
It's a guest
like,
house.
okay. All
Or,
right.
I mean, he was a writer, and I guess, but it almost kind of seemed like that was his first book, because when they were in the car on the way back to the house, she was like, "Oh my God, you finished it!" So
He's
was
never finished a book before.
maybe, I don't know, but he's rolling in the dough apparently. Although you never knew what the wife did, but
Maybe the money was hers.
maybe
Family money.
could be. Well, she's dead.
Well, money don't follow you to the grave.
Guess not. When they get back to the house, you see that he has now shacked up with the old nurse who was taking care of their sick, dying mother before she died in the fiery explosion. They're now a couple.
It's like the plot of any drama.
I know. The hot young
Nurse.
nanny nurse.
Shacks up with the old rich dude.
It was just so weird to see Elizabeth Banks in a serious role. Most of the things that you see her in now, everything is like comedy, which is really just out of character.
But she's so good at both.
I know. She played Psycho very well.
I legitimately, like, during the pieces where I'm like, this doesn't make sense, I was like, did she actually kill the mother? Because, like, I'm trying to remember the fucking movie as it's going on. And I'm like, she plays creepy, like, a little too well that, like, I really believe she did it.
That was the whole point, though, to throw you in that direction, like she was the one. And even the trailers made it seem like that, too, like she was the evil one. Because that whole pearl necklace scene was, like, very prominent in the trailers, the suspenseful
I do
music
remember
and
that when this came
everything.
out. I remember that trailer.
So Anna, who's played by Emily Browning, remembered her name, meets up with her sister Alex at the
They're
dock.
fairly easy
I
names.
know. Meets up with her sister at the dock to go swimming and, say hi, I'm back. And the guy, Matt, comes to deliver them groceries. Like, that's how you know your groceries get delivered on a boat.
Yeah, and they're fresh.
On your own private dock.
Like, girl, that must have been like the cushiest mental institution too. Like filet mignon on Fridays. Rich, rich, rich people.
There is clearly some chemistry between the two of them. Because also in the beginning, you know, there are some sort of party in the camp, in the woods, in the camp.
A beach, like, bash.
Yeah. In the woods.
Yeah.
And the two of them are, like, making out. I guess he's trying to do something else. A little two-knuckle shuffle.
I mean, they really don't delve too much into, like, the age of them.
Yeah. Are they in high school?
He was 18.
Okay.
Based on date. So, I don't know fully, like...
They could have been in... That could have been, like, their senior year, I guess. Because then it was 10 months afterwards. So, the new year probably happened, maybe. So, I'm thinking 17, 18? I mean, she looked like she was, like, 15, 16.
She looked like a middle school
kid. Yeah. Like, she's very young.
She dressed like one, too.
She looks a lot older in Sucker Punch, though.
Well, I mean, Sucker Punch, I feel like it was the makeup that they put all them in.
I love that movie.
Sucker Punch is a very good movie.
Sucker Punch is a good movie. No very phones, underrated. Anthony.
Very underrated. I thought I was getting a phone call. I was trying to mute it. This shit vibrates loud. I don't know if you heard it during the movie.
Yeah, I mean, like, mine does too, so I always have it on vibrate. People who have their phone on, like, sound are gross.
Well, should I just throw it on Do Not Disturb right now?
Oh, that's probably a good idea. So, Rachel, the nurse, who is now kind of trying to be, like, stepmom to her, she's trying. I'll give her that. She tries.
But she puts up with a lot.
She does. And, you know, it's hard. I mean, like, think about it. It's hard to be that girl in that situation. If the kids were, like, 4 and 5, could be a little different. They're teenagers.
Yeah, they don't like you.
Right.
They've known their mom their whole lives.
Right.
They have memories.
Right.
You're just some bitch that's plowing their dad.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't gonna win them.
No.
Maybe 15, 20 years down the line, you might get, like, a hello.
And, like, the subtle digs at each other, like, when they were in the kitchen, and she was talking about how they wanted to spruce it up, and then she took the chalk, and they were talking about the chalkboard, and, like, Anna's face was, okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Anna was also, to be fair, she was used to the house a certain way.
Right.
Gone for 10 months, comes back.
And everything is different.
Of course new mom is going to change things.
Yeah.
That was old mom's house.
Right.
Now it's new mom's house.
Ugh. I don't know. I felt bad for Rachel in the beginning. You feel bad for Rachel. Because, like, she tries. But then, you know,
she gets creepy.
Yeah, as the movie goes on, it gets less, like, I'm trying to be, like, let's try and be friends, and more of, like, I'm gonna kill you.
If you take this away from me, you're not gonna see another sunrise.
Like, I know.
Okay, bitch.
I think it started when they went out to, like, lunch and shopping. When they're sitting there, and she's like, I used to wipe old people's asses. Not all of them were beautiful. And I'm like, was she talking about the asses or the people?
I think she was talking about the asses.
I think she was, too.
Like, 100%. That was, like, a subtle Elizabeth Banks joke.
But then, like, serious. But not a, they weren't half as beautiful as your mom's. I'm sorry.
Her asshole was pretty.
I'm sorry. That's a weird thing to say to, like, her daughter.
I mean, that whole interaction was fucking weird. Where she's like, you know how I got through it? Knowing they're going to be dead and I'm not.
Oh.
You don't say that to somebody whose mother died in your care. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's true.
What the fuck?
Right. Eesh, yikes. Then they go to the store to get stuff for dinner, I guess. Or I know that she was trying to plan, like, a party for the book launch.
Why didn't she just get it delivered by boat?
Right. So she goes out, and then Matt had said to Anna before he left the dock the first time, I was there that night, I saw everything that happened. So she knows that Matt works at the store, and she goes, like, into the back where all the storage stuff is, where those berries are not getting any fresher.
Hey, Matt, those berries aren't getting any fresher.
He literally walked away from them for, like, 7 seconds.
They were fine, dude.
Yeah.
Like, what is he even doing back there?
I know.
sitting in a weird fucking dimly lit office in a very dimly lit warehouse.
The whole situation was weird. But, you know, Anna's trying to get him to tell her what happened, and he was like, well, we can't talk about it here. You know, I'll meet you tonight, 11 o'clock. We'll meet at The Rock. Of course, they have a rock on their property. It's a big-ass fucking rock just sitting at the edge of their property in the water.
You know what? When you're rich, you just put rocks wherever you want. It's probably hauled like a from rock, Africa.
Like a rock walkway to get to the big rock, too.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Like a jetty. Those rocks are all imported. They aren't from Maine. Fuck that.
Right, like, how'd that rock get there?
New Zealand. Like, four helicopters just carried it.
So, she tries to meet him, or she goes to meet him with Alex at The Rock, but he never shows. And he... Right, we're not there. We're almost there.
Never shows. I knew that boat was suspicious as fuck. Ain't no way he did that.
So, the two of them were laying in bed that night, and, you know, Alex is like, I'm gonna go to bed. Anna's like, no, please stay with me until I fall asleep. And she's like, all right, but no funny business.
That was so out of place.
Yeah. The funny business wasn't weird. Like, you guys are sisters.
Like,
I guess she means, like, you know, no fooling around. Not, like, fooling around like that.
No, she meant fooling
around. No, but I don't think that's what she meant. I think it was more of, like, I think it was more of, like, you know, we're not going to sit up here and talk. Like, you're going to go to bed so I can go to bed. Like, don't act ridiculous. Like, go to sleep.
No, that was straight up under the nightgown.
No, it was...
Finger tickle.
Oh, my God. Finger tickle. Oh, wow.
Finding the middle of the roast beef sandwich.
Oh, come on. That's gross. That's so gross. I mean, what would I know? I've never fingered a girl before.
It's exactly what you think it would be.
Just like a warm, hot
pocket. Think of a mouth, but no teeth. Or tongue. And tighter.
Okay.
That's about it.
Alright.
The mouth is the other vagina.
Okay. That has teeth, like the other vagina.
No, this isn't teeth. We're not doing that movie.
We should do that soon. Afraid
to have sex.
We should do that soon.
I won't be able to have sex for so long after that. I feel like, is it going to bite me?
Nom, nom, nom.
No, I do the eating.
She's hungry.
Oh, no. Honey girl. Can't do that.
It'll eat your face off, too.
No.
Like those face huggers from Alien.
I mean, honestly, those are better than teeth.
Oh, my God.
Teeth is taking something that, like, you're just... You want to go into and making it dangerous.
I mean, like, I don't think I necessarily want to go in there.
What about teeth in the butt? Ben, that makes you nervous, huh?
Like a cheese grater.
God, no. This is Human Centipede 2 with that sandpaper.
Ugh. Gross. You know, that used to be like a... It was, I don't know if it was a medieval torture device, but it was some sort of, like, like a penis fly trap that girls would wear, that if guys would to rape them, they could go in but can't come out. Because, like, they could come out, but it's going to scrape...
Yeah, like, it rips the dick apart.
Ugh.
They actually make those now that women can insert into themselves. Yeah.
It's a crazy world we live in.
Do you ever think about female condoms, too?
No.
They're so weird.
I don't think about female anything. They're all like Barbies to me. They have nothing there.
Have you ever heard of
a female condom? Yes, it's a diaphragm. I know what that is.
Yeah, but they literally, like, pinch it and you stick it in.
Yeah.
And then you release it.
I don't understand. I don't understand why you wouldn't just have the guy wear a condom.
Exactly. Who invented those?
Right, because the guy, it feels better with that one. Okay, well, it's not going to feel great with that in.
I don't, like, would you hit it? Is it going to bounce you out?
Fuck if I know.
It's like hitting the back of the cervix. Like, it doesn't feel good. It's not pleasant.
For you?
Yes, because you feel like you're literally hitting a wall.
Yeah.
But if you burst that wall, she's going to start, like, bleeding and dying. That's terrifying to hit, because you're like, oh, God, I can't, like, really go.
I mean, you can. Depends on how far back her wall is, I guess.
I mean, true, but still, it freaks me out. I don't like to think about that type of shit. Just killed you with my dick.
Oh, jeez.
Like, no.
I mean, I think you'd be alright, only because I know that, like, in porn there are dicks, like, this big that the girls take all the way. So right. Unless your dick is this big...
Honestly, I don't even know if I believe half that shit. That's gotta be, like, CGI. They're wrapping, like, green paint around the dick to be like, alright, this half is gonna disappear and it's gonna look like it went into her. Alright, no mom. That's going into your intestines.
Yeah.
Like, girl.
Although, I don't know if your intestines are connected to your...
I mean, they're not, but, like, he's going into your actual body gap, because he's definitely breaking the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're dead. It's gotta be a good way to go, though. Death in the middle of sex?
I guess.
What's your preferred way of going?
Probably, it sounds so bad, but probably, like, lethal injection. Only because they put you to sleep first, and then they kill you.
Okay. A peaceful right. death. I think that, like, shows something about your soul.
Yeah.
It's weird, because mine is, like, a shootout.
Or, like, point blank. Like, just...
Oh, no, I want, like, one of those action
movies. Like a firing movie, squad?
Action movie shootouts, where it's me, like, 10 guys.
So, a firing squad.
No, but I have a chance. I have a gun, too.
No,
they... Sometimes they make it.
No?
It depends if they're the main character or a side character. But I'm hoping I'm the main.
Do you have plot armor?
I fucking hope so. The only thing that saves you from headshots.
Yeah.
But I feel like that would be such a memorable way to go.
For who? For, like, the people...
Me, if I die. People will be like, yo, that guy died in a shootout. Sick.
Okay.
But if I live, I'm the legend who survived that shootout.
That's true.
Infamy either way.
So, Josh appears at her window, or just, like, in her room somehow. Did he come in through the window?
Yeah, he, like, knocked on the window or something.
Comes in, it's like the right. It's like the middle of the night. He says he's cold, and then takes off his shirt.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and then sits on her bed, and, you know, they're kissing, and his hand goes down, and then her hand's, like, on his back, and it's feeling down, and, like, halfway through his back, you hear it before you see it. You're like, that doesn't sound right, and, like, the top of his back looks like he belongs in a bell tower somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Straight up scoliosis.
Ugh. And when you finally see it, like, his spine is literally snapped in half.
Yeah, in a way I didn't think spines could be bad. They're, like, curving up and down.
Yeah,
like,
in opposite directions.
What the fuck did you hit?
Right. So he goes to try and stand up, and you can just see the spine just, like, moving and breaking, and, like, his body is all, like, bent to the side as he's like, help me, help me, hold me. Ugh. She runs out of the room, and he's gone. Just disappears. He wasn't there. Yep. And now it's daylight.
This girl's fucking nuts.
Yeah. Then she hears the helicopter outside, and it's like a search party, and they find Josh's dead body bloated in the river.
How the fuck was there a search party that fast?
I know.
Who reported him missing?
I know. Maybe his mom, he didn't come home. They found his boat, so they probably were, his boat was there, and they knew that it was his boat, so they're probably just searching that area.
I guess, but, like, that's usually
police, the only thing that makes sense.
It takes, like, 48 hours for a person to legally be missing. This was next day, and he was already bloated.
Yeah.
Like, he's been dead a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he would have only been dead for, like...
a few hours. They met at 11?
Well, they were supposed to meet at the Rock at 11, and then they went back and she fell asleep. So it had to have been, like, after midnight.
Yeah, so...
depending on how long they waited at the Rock, it could have been, like, 3 in the morning.
7 or 8 hours?
Yeah, depending on what time they found him.
Yeah.
Because then she was like, oh, it's time for breakfast.
So it's still got to be before 11.
Yeah. There's no way he would have been bloated like that.
No.
No way.
And he was green.
Yeah. They said he fell off his boat and hit a thing of timber, and that's what broke his back. From what height?
That's what I was saying. There's no... his boat had to have been going like 100 miles an hour. Yeah. Hit a wave, and he just fell off in the right way.
Yeah.
So unlikely.
Yeah. Weird. So Alex is helping Rachel get dinner or breakfast started, and Anna's trying to talk to her dad about, like, he told me that he saw everything that happened, and Rachel just keeps trying to pull him away. Suspicious. Mm-hmm. Very suspicious. And just the look on her face of just, like, I don't know, you could tell. She's like, she knows something's up.
You know what's interesting? Is when you look back at that part, knowing what you know at the end, it makes sense why she kept asking.
A lot of things make sense.
Yes. Which is why I was like, red flags.
We'll get there.
Constantly going off.
So Anna and Alex, they think something's up with Rachel. Something's not right. So they start doing background checks on her from Rachel Summers and... because that's her name that she has on her driver's license and everything, and they're calling all of her previous employers to get information about her. And she comes across... when Alex is on the phone and she's like, oh, that's not possible. What was she talking about? What was not possible?
They had gone back several years at that point in, like, her history. So, like, her most recent ones must have been vouching for her. And then they went back a little further.
Beyond the 3 years.
Yes. Okay. And that's probably what was like, no, never, we don't have somebody by that name.
We have somebody by this name. Okay. Okay. That makes sense. Because of what happens at the end, yes.
Did you see some of the pictures they had, like her driver's license and stuff?
I wasn't really, like...
they make Emily Banks look bad in those pictures.
Emily?
I don't know why I just called her Emily. I don't know why they make Elizabeth Banks look like that in those pictures. Like, she looked bad.
Like, when they were at the family picture, too?
Yeah, even that one. Yeah. Like, they made her look dumpy. Like, she was, like, ugly dress, ugly pullover. Now she's got, like, this fancy shit. She looks good all the time.
Right.
Well, then,
go ahead.
All right, do you want me to just continue, like, from where I was, like, talk about the dinner party a little bit and then go to the Mildred thing?
Mildred.
Whatever, it's a shit name.
There's no G in there.
It's a fucking shit name. It's a shit name. That's like a 60s name, and she was born in the 90s or 80s.
So Rachel's setting up this dinner party for the dad's book launch. What was the dad's name?
Mr. Irver or Irvin. I don't think they ever said his first name.
Yeah, it might have been on the book, but like
I wasn't I don't paying know. Attention. No. It didn't even look like a real book.
Yeah, and like the author photo that he chose is from like when he was 30 years ago.
Super young.
Which means he must have written multiple books because that's just probably the thing that he chooses. That's
either that
probably
or
when he first started writing. He just uses the same one about what he looks like now, yeah.
He old now.
Yeah.
That hair gray.
Mm. Balls are probably to his knees.
Maybe that's why Elizabeth Banks liked him.
Oh.
Can swing his balls around like a mace in the bedroom.
Oh my god. Slap your balls with my asshole.
That shit's coming around to hit the back of her head.
Oh no.
He's got full ravage.
Oh jeez, I can imagine like in Doggy. Yeah, he just comes swooping around, hits her in the forehead.
He's like, hold on, put these in front of you first.
Hold on to them.
Pull me in with it. There you go. Tug. takes like 4 minutes for the fucking cum to get all the way through.
Oh, jeez.
Oof.
Oof.
He old.
So, they're having this dinner party. The whole interaction between Anna and Rachel was weird about, like, you have really beautiful, full lips. That's weird. Guys don't... Guys... Like a girl with a pretty mouth.
Like, sexualizing her a little
bit. Yeah. A little strange that she's putting, like, lipstick on her and everything. Very weird.
Although, to be fair, she did have fuller lips than Elizabeth Banks.
She did. She did.
Because I looked afterwards and I was like, you got thin lips, girl.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe she's jealous.
Yeah. And then she notices the pearls. Because she had mentioned the pearls when they had went out to eat. And Rachel had said that, you know, it was a gift from a client a long time ago. And Rachel offers Anna to wear the pearls. And she puts them around her neck. And then Anna's just like, so who are you? We looked up your previous history. As the pearls are around her neck.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot. And she's never just looking at her with that, like, crazy eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we looked up and there's no Rachel Summers from, you know, this history from your previous employer or whatever. And then Rachel just kind of, like, pulls them up. She's like, you know what, Anna? This isn't gonna work. And takes the pearls away. Very weird interaction between the two of them. The party starts. Anna's in a... I liked Anna's dress.
It made her have boobs.
Yeah.
She does not have boobs.
No, she does not. She is flat-chested.
Yeah.
Which, fine, I guess.
It's fine, but that dress had some magic powers.
Yeah.
There was like 4 chicken cutlets underneath each breast, pushing them all up. Like, otherwise, how the fuck did she get that?
I know. The dad asks Anna to help Rachel in the kitchen, you know, with anything with the party. She's super stressed. And you can tell Rachel was stressed throughout the party. She's just making sure everyone... She's trying to be, like, the best hostess ever.
Of course, she was the mistress.
Right.
Everybody judges the mistress.
Right, of course. So she goes into the kitchen. She asks Rachel if she needs any help. Really? You're here to help? Really? Like, after that, you're going to help me now? She... Elizabeth Banks should have worn a thong in that dress, because you could see her underwear through the dress.
Oh, yeah.
You see her panties through the dress.
I sometimes, like, the wardrobe casting for movies, they, like, try to be modest just in case if there's the accidental, like, upskirt shot.
But, like, the dress was long enough that she didn't have to wear underwear. It was, like, down to her knees.
100%.
Yeah.
But they always try to be modest.
I guess.
You saw Elizabeth
Spanks.
Well, she was getting spanked. That underwear that they found... That was sexy, like, lingerie, like, Victoria's Secret shit.
Yeah.
Ain't no way she wearing that granny panty shit under a dress.
Also, I don't think the vibrator scene was necessary.
No.
Mr. Chubby. But, like, why would you touch that?
First of all, that thing was, like, the most 70s vibrator I've ever seen.
Like, chrome. Like, torpedo-shaped.
What the fuck?
They take the batteries out before they leave. So, like, it was so unnecessary. I mean, you could have gone through her drawers. I mean, they found, like, her sedatives.
Yeah.
Like, shoved all the way back into the drawer. But, like, you didn't need to pull the vibrator out. That was unnecessary.
But she's also a nurse.
Right.
It's not unusual to have a nurse bag.
Exactly.
Like, so, why do they think it's weird?
I know.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I heard a voice. It's like a woman's voice.
Yeah.
Hello?
Chip would be barking. Or Chip would have noticed if somebody had walked in.
Oh, no. I'm talking about a ghost.
No, stop it!
If you're here, speak directly into the microphone so Robert can hear you first.
Nothing. This place is not haunted. Stop saying that.
Pussies. They're scared.
So she helps Rachel get the roast out of the oven, and she's got a nice, you know, cutting board with spikes in it to keep the roast in place. Me either. That's a rich people thing.
Weird.
Yeah. I guess it just keeps the roast from sliding, I guess.
I've worked in kitchens, and I've never seen something like that before. Nobody uses that.
At what kitchen would you need that for? Like a resting cutting block?
I've done catering jobs where, like, we have roasts like that and we slice them to order. Even that thing didn't have that.
Huh.
You just held it in fucking place with a knife like a normal person.
I know.
Like, what the fuck?
She asks Anna to take the garbage out while she goes to, what I'm assuming is put all of those glasses at the table. You think she might be making, like, a champagne tower?
100%. That's such a rich person thing to do.
I don't think that's what she was doing.
Putting on a show, light some flares.
I don't think so. But, the garbage starts to move. Weird.
Never open it.
No.
If a garbage bag moves, you tie it tighter, and you bring it outside, and you throw it.
No, you don't bring it outside. You walk away.
You don't leave moving garbage in your house. What do you mean? That's a terrible idea.
Go get somebody else.
Throw it outside, and you lock the door.
As she's opening it, a can falls underneath the oven, which doesn't go all the way to the floor, which I don't understand. Like, where's your broiler? Where's your...
Your pot holder?
Yeah. No, I don't hold pots under there. People who hold pots under there are fucking weird.
Why?
That's weird.
I keep sheet pans under there.
No. Sheet pans go, like, in a cabinet somewhere.
Why?
Because I always turn...
perfectly fine.
But because I always turn the oven on, because Taylor puts them in there, and I always turn the oven on and forget that they're down there. So I have to take them out scorching hot.
Well, they never get that hot. Unless you're turning your broiler on, too.
Well, the oven's on. Well, you turn the oven on. They're going to get hot enough to the point where you can't pick them up with your hands.
I mean, I've lost a lot of feeling in my fingers from working in restaurants. So, like, stuff that's hot to people is warm to me. So, like, I just pick that shit up.
When I used to work at Applebee's, like, I could pick the French onion soups up, like, straight from the broiler because I had no feelings in my head. But the feeling has come back in my hands.
I haven't gotten there yet. Mm. It's been less than a year since I left restaurants. Mm. I'm dreading when that comes back because I'm just so used to grabbing hot stuff now that I'm going to touch something and it's going to actually burn me. And I'm going to be like, what the fuck is this feeling?
So she reaches underneath. Well, she doesn't reach underneath. She just looks underneath to see where the can is. And the little ginger girl comes popping out from underneath the oven.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second time you see her. The first time you see her is when they're in the diner. She drops a glass of milk that, when it hits the ground, turns to blood. Which is a cool little effect. That you're right. I think I have seen somewhere before. I just can't figure out
I feel where. Like it was a Nightmare on Elm Street. It feels like something Freddy would do.
Yeah.
Especially that new one. You know, I think it was the new one.
The remake?
The remake we just watched. When she was, like, in the, she was having, like, a flashback to when she was a kid. But it was in, like, the dream world. And the girl had a glass of milk or something.
And she dropped it, and it...
And it turned to blood.
Yeah. I think you're right. I can't remember. But I think you're right. So that scares Anna, and she, you know, recoils like anybody fucking would. But she bumps into the table and drops the roast on the ground. Rachel comes in, and she is not happy. What are you trying to do to me with the fucking pitchfork? Or
no, meat fork?
Meat fork.
That's the thing that holds the meat in place.
Yeah,
for you. Apparently the spikes don't do shit, because the things still hit the floor.
I know. And... But still, like, nobody else would have known. You could have just been like, oh my god, and just picked it up real quick, scraped off the top, and you would have been fine. Nobody would have known.
I mean, also, to be fair...
30-second rule, because that was a little longer than five.
Anna weighs, like, 120 pounds. That was a big wooden table.
Yeah.
She had to have hit that with force to move it.
To knock the whole thing down, yeah. So, Rachel freaks out. Dad sends both of the girls to bed. And the dad leaves the next day to go to New York for some sort of publishing something or book launch or whatever.
Got a meet and greet.
Right, you got to do your book tour where you go to different places, read like a chapter and sign your books or do whatever. And so now it's just Rachel and Anna and Alex in the house. They start to do a little bit more digging because now they go to the funeral where Rachel's like, wear something nice, I want to be like a family. Fucking weird. It was weird that she said she wanted to look presentable and look like a family, but she didn't stand next to her at the funeral. She stood across from her.
Because she's still mad about the roast, like...
But still, like, that's your stepdaughter to be. To be.
Younger sister. You're the mistress. You're not the stepmom.
I mean, they were going to get married, but... You know, stepmom-to-be, you know, you should, you know, try and want to console her. I mean, I guess I understand why they did it for the shot, because when Elizabeth, when she moved away, you know, there's a little ginger girl again going in deeper into the woods, into the cemetery.
Yeah.
And what does Anna do? Of course she follows her.
Why not?
Right, of course. Looked like she was about to fucking trip over that one tombstone.
She beelined it right over people's graves. Like, she didn't give a fuck.
So, she falls into a shallow grave and sees three tombstones for, it was Iris. I don't remember what the other two's name were.
I know one of them was Dave, but the third one I don't remember.
Yeah. There's three children.
Is something with a C, Calvin?
Or Caleb?
Caleb. It might have been Caleb.
I don't know. That's really not important.
Rich young dead kid names.
Yeah. Well, how do you know they were rich? You don't know they were rich.
They were all private school. Did you not see the clothes they were in every time they showed them?
Not all private school kids are rich.
Private school expensive.
Private school is expensive. I went to private school.
Yeah. It's expensive. And you're from royalty.
I'm not from royalty. Jesus Christ.
You are now.
I went
to... Your dad is a lord.
That is true. He is a lord. I only went to private school until I was in fourth grade, and then it was too fucking expensive.
Putting three of you, yeah.
Well, my sister left in seventh grade. She transferred to public school. It was either sixth or seventh grade. She transferred to public school, and then I followed her, I think, a year after, because I guess she was the tester, see how public school went.
And of course, then, she's the first child.
Yeah. And then I went after, and then I don't think Nicholas went to private school at all. If he did, it was like preschool, when my mom still worked at that school.
Private preschool?
Well, it was...
Now just, you know you got money.
Well, it was like preschool, kindergarten, like that kind of... Because it started like... Kindergarten, all the kids were all the way at the end of the building, and as you got up is as how the grades went. So it was like pre-K and kindergarten, then first grade, then you went up like the four steps, and it was like first grade, the other two first grade classes, and then second grade, third grade, fourth, fifth, sixth. No, fourth grade was at the bottom. Fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth. No, fourth had to be up top because I went upstairs. So fourth was at the beginning of the building, and then I went fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, all the way down at the other end of the building on the second floor. I went this way, up, and then that way. There's just one big, like, fucking rectangle. The school.
That's so fucking weird.
Yeah. It was just set that way, so that way, you know, like, if you were in, you know, third grade, you know, you're staying on the first floor in between this section of the hall, you shouldn't be anywhere else. Like, there should be no reason that you're upstairs in, as a third grader.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, in middle school, I went to Intermediate East. They had each wing was designed per grade. And then there was the auxiliary wing where the gym, the music rooms, the lunchroom, and stuff like that was.
Our middle school was like one big square, and each like corner... It's fifth grade was always in one section, but then once you got into sixth grade, each like corner of every floor was designated to like a subject. So... The one corner all the way in the back, all of those classrooms along that wing were science classrooms. And then math was on the other side of that, English was on the other side of the wall, and then history was downstairs, like, somewhere else. Like, it was just, each class had, like, was in a different part of the building.
That's how my high school was.
I mean, yeah, that's how my high school was set up, too.
Because my high school literally was a square. With the middle being the library on the second floor. First floor was guidance. Across from that was your ISS people.
Yeah, bad kids.
Yep. Who are there all the fucking time.
All the time.
And then you had, history was in one area, science was another, math was spread out a little bit.
Right.
But also consolidated. And then English was also consolidated.
Was your high school one story or two?
Two.
Okay. Ours was two. Yeah. But our second story did not wrap all the way around the building.
Oh, no, ours was literally just a square on a square.
No, our second floor went around about half, maybe like two-thirds of the building. It was like one big deck.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it didn't wrap all the way
just
around.
Just do the fourth wing.
Yeah, I don't know why. There were three wings up there. Well, the second wing was like the vice principal's offices, and it was also like an opening where you could see down into the like first floor.
What the fuck?
So it was like an open area.
Yours sounds more like a prison than mine did.
No,
Felt like a prison.
No, I mean, like, it had railings and stuff. Like, you could just look down at people walking.
Yeah, but did you, like, come in and all the, like, the administrators were lined up, arms crossed on your first day?
No.
Like, welcome to hell.
No. No, it wasn't like that. But there were two vice principals' office. One was on the first, one was on the second. It was, like, the freshman, sophomore vice principal, junior, senior vice principal.
We had two?
Yeah.
We had one for each grade.
Well, when we went to that high school, when I started that high school, I was a sophomore, and there were only freshmen and sophomores in that high school. That's it.
Oh, you went to the new, when it was new, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's why.
We were the first graduating class of that high school. So, there wasn't a need for, like, when we first started, I believe we only had one vice principal, because there was only two grades.
Yeah.
And then that second year, I think that's when we got the second one. And then our senior year, that's when things started to get a little crowded. My sophomore year, it was like nobody in the fucking hallway. There was like whole wings of the building not even being used. Like, I don't even think we used the upstairs at all our sophomore year. I don't think anybody used the upstairs. Teachers didn't even have rooms up there because there was no need for it.
Isn't that so weird when you think about, like, back then? Especially compared to, like, now with COVID, where people are like, stay away from me.
Right.
We used to be so fucking close to each other in high school.
My freshman year of high school, I was at the other school, and there were probably 1,500, 1,600 kids in that school.
That's probably about what mine was, because I think my graduating class was close to 400, and we were the seniors.
Yeah, it was a lot of kids, and you got that early exit pass where you could leave your class like 5 minutes early to go to your locker if your class was on the complete opposite side of the building.
That's how busy the halls were.
Yeah, and you were able to like walk outside because how that high school was, it was like rectangle, building in the middle that's connected about like a third of the way into the first rectangle, other rectangle over here with...
So like an H.
Yeah. But, like, at the end of the rectangle, also had another rectangle at the end of it. So, like, the hallway would open to a huge rectangle that had a whole bunch of classrooms on both sides. But there was no connecting between the two at the back end. You had to go all the way out and around, which was fucking stupid.
That's so weird.
Yeah. So,
that's
I would...
such an odd design.
Yeah. And my locker, and, like, as a freshman, you didn't get great locker placement. My locker was, like, right smack in the middle of that hallway where everybody would be going to. I was never able to go to my locker. I think I went like twice throughout my entire freshman year.
I never went to my locker. I had like a binder for each class that wasn't really a binder. It was like a spiral notebook.
Right.
And they just sat in my backpack and I just carried my backpack with me.
Right, I know. It was absolutely ridiculous. There was no way to do anything.
I didn't really take notes, so. It's kind of just for show. You just have it out on the desk.
I was a note taker. I like to take my notes on graph paper. It's the kids.
Because the squares?
Yes.
Okay.
Makes everything, like, nice and even and symmetrical and...
That's real OCD of you.
Yeah. That was back then. I wouldn't do that now.
No, I know you now. That would definitely not be you.
I mean, I would still like to take... I would still take notes on graph paper if I had graph paper, but...
Yeah, but, like, you're also... you've served, or you just chop, chop, chop. Everything. You don't give a fuck about what it looks like.
No,
everything. Only you can decipher it.
Yeah. Yep. I know my hand. I know what I wrote.
That's when you're like, can you just bring this in for me?
Yeah.
Somebody's like,
the fuck is this? Like,
what?
We don't have to worry about that now because we have to order everything on iPads.
That's the future.
Yeah.
I get
it. It was a little confusing last night because their system needs a little work. But all in all, it wasn't terrible.
Did you have food going out to the wrong table?
No. So you have to, like, if somebody wants, like, a cocktail, which I don't understand why it's not in the front, but if somebody wants, like, something to drink or even food, you have to scroll. You only have, like, 6 tabs up top for, like, specific things, and then you have to scroll over to get to another 6, and then scroll over to get to another 6. Cocktails, you have to scroll over, like, 4 times.
How many different sections are there?
It's a lot. So you've got, like, appetizers, drink, non-alcoholic beverages, are you rewards members, then you have, like, sushi, and then rice and noodles is its own tab, chicken's its own tab, beef is its own tab. Like,
that's unnecessary.
Right. I mean, it makes it easier.
Tab of entrees?
No, that would be a friggin' nightmare. An absolute nightmare. Because then you have that tab, and then all of those things pop up. You're gonna have, like, 8 pages to sift through. So if I just go to chicken...
That many entrees.
Now, if I just go to chicken, the 4 options we have for chicken pop up, so it's easier to find it that way.
Alright, so you hit entrees, and then you have a little thing on the side, like a search engine,
yeah,
where you go, chicken, beef, and then it just shows you chicken and beef.
But
let me revamp this system.
As everybody's on the system, I guess is why it gets, like,
crashed.
Yeah, I guess. But, like, I'll scroll over 2 times and try and find chicken, and for whatever reason, the system will swipe it all the way back without me doing anything. So I'm like, okay, swipe, swipe, go to click, swipes it all the way back. And I'm like, and I'm standing there at my tables just trying to get the fucking food in, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening? I can't do it.
That's when I would point the iPad to them and be like, yo, can you try this?
Yeah.
Just scroll for me. I want to see if it does it to you, too.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Make it into a little joke. That way your tables have fun. They realize, you know, oh, it's not a big deal, blah, blah, blah. All
right, let's finish up this movie.
We're pretty much at the end.
So, they start to search for what happened to these kids. And they come across a news article about a 19-year-old nanny who killed the 3 kids and the mom. Or was it the whole family? It was the 3 kids and the mom.
The mom died in a car accident.
Yes, the mom died in the car accident.
And then she killed the kids.
She killed the kids.
To be with the husband.
Yes. And in the picture, you see that the mom is wearing the pearls that Rachel has. So...
ugly.
The pearls?
Yeah, their pearls are not attractive. They're like old.
It depends on what you're wearing, though. Like, when Rachel was at the party, the pearls really fit the dress that she was wearing.
She had a white dress. White on white, you know.
It's cream.
The only cream she's seeing that night is the Oh, zinger.
Jesus Christ.
You set him up, I knock him out.
Jesus. The nanny's name is Mildred Kemp.
Ugly name. Ugly pearls.
What do you keep calling her? Mildred?
Mildred. It might as well be. First of all, Mildred.
Mildred.
How's that a real name?
Mildred's a name.
That's like short for Mildred.
Mildred is not...
it's the same name.
Oh, okay.
They're both old, ugly names. I'm sorry if you name your kid Mildred or Mildred. It's not an attractive name. Mm. You're setting them up for failure. They will be made fun of.
So Anna and Alex are planning to take her down, and Rachel can hear her through the door. She's eavesdropping.
Creepy.
Nosy bitch.
It's her house. She can listen where she wants to.
That's true. That's true.
My mom would tell me. It's my house. You don't keep no secrets from me.
Comes into Anna's room, and Anna confronts her about being Mildred. And Rachel's like, you're right, you got it. Like, are these the pearls you want? Like, come and take them. She goes to take them like an idiot, like she didn't think she was going to try and trap her. She tries to sedate her with a syringe, and Anna gets away. Her room is locked, but she goes into Alex's room, slams the door on her arm, drops the syringe. Alex is sedated on the floor. You know, Anna crawls out the window and back into her room. Right?
She just leaves. She gets in the car.
Right. She leaves.
First, why was Anna's room locked?
So she couldn't go in there? So she couldn't run away?
But still. That's weird. I did not grow up in a house with bedrooms that had locks. I could not lock my bedroom. I could not be locked in my bedroom. But I did not have that ability.
We used to have doors growing up that had the locks on the outside.
Never had that.
Yeah, it was weird. And then when we got new doors, they just didn't have doorknobs. So we had no doorknobs.
What?
I used to take, like, a battery and stick it in the thing to kind of, like, lock the door, I guess. But, no, they didn't have doorknobs.
What happened to the old doorknobs? They come out of the door. It's not stuck.
No idea.
That's so random.
I know. We had no doorknobs for years.
I mean, I was always hit with the threat of, I'll take your door off the hinges, but never I'll take your doorknob or anything like that.
No, it wasn't because we were bad or anything. They just never bought doorknobs. They bought new doors, but not new doorknobs.
I know, but that's just so random.
Yeah, it was weird.
Did you ever get, like, a lock for, like, the top? Like, that circle in the hook?
No. I just literally just used a battery into the... in the hall. It worked!
I mean, yeah, I guess. Can't snap a battery in half.
Right. This gave me some type of warning before anyone came into my room.
I feel like your stairs would have been the warning. You had some creaky stairs.
Yeah, we did.
I remember moving you guys out every time somebody was coming up and down.
It was hard to sneak out of that house. The door was creaky, too.
Your parents designed that on purpose.
Oh, no, I would go out the sliding glass door out the back.
Oh, sneaky robber.
No, I'm not stupid.
Anybody ever get caught?
No. Anna goes to the cop and tells him everything that happens and that she drugged Alex, and the cop's like, all right, don't worry, we're gonna take care of this, like, you go over and rest. She sees her mom, who looks nice at one point, then creepy and burned, and then boom, there's Elizabeth Banks.
How did she fall asleep? I would not have been able to fall asleep in a situation where my sister could potentially be being murdered,
right,
while you're at the police department.
Very weird.
Just curls up on the couch, falls asleep. Not even with a blanket.
Right. So, Rachel comes and, you know, they find they're able to drug her and they bring her back home. She brings her back home. Lays her down in the bed. Undresses her. She's telling her that she can't have kids and she always wanted to be a mother and that she took that away from her. And she puts the gown on her and then Anna wakes up. And there's blood everywhere. Because she can see Alex behind Rachel before she throws the blanket over her face. Shh. Yeah, tell her to be quiet. And then when Anna wakes up, there's blood everywhere. And she's stepping in it as she's walking through the house.
Why is she walking, like, with it in between her legs?
Yeah.
Like, that was the weirdest way to walk around blood I've ever seen.
Yeah. Very odd, very strange. The blood leads all the way outside into their dumpster area. Now, with that fucking dumpster, how does the garbage truck's not gonna be able to come through and get that? So who's taking out your garbage? Does it just fall Matt. Into a hole?
It's Matt with a boat.
Just take your garbage yep. out? Like, what the
they
fuck?
They roll it out to the dock and they just put it on his boat. Rich people.
Yeah. Fucking insane. So Anna slowly walks up to the dumpster, lifts it up, and there's a garbage bag. She pulls it away, and it's Rachel, dead in the dumpster. Alex is standing behind her, or behind the dumpster. It's like, I had to do it. Like, you didn't leave me any choice. Like, I did the right thing, right? We did it. We did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
The dad shows up. I guess he was only gone for a night.
I don't understand his schedule.
Yeah. So that
shit takes a while.
Well, either that or Rachel called him and said, yeah, you need to come back, like she's losing her shit. So the dad shows up and the girls are standing there and they're like, we had to do it. She, you know, she tried to kill me. She drugged Alex. And this is where you see the dad kind of like, wait, what? Alex. And then he drops the bomb that Alex has been dead since the mom died in the explosion at the boathouse. And he's like, you know, tell me what happened. What happened? What happened? So then you get the flashback of, like, what really happened that night. Because the whole time you're getting, like, these bits and pieces of flashbacks. And, you know, the interaction with Matt happens. She walks back to the house and she's looking through the peephole. And through the peephole is her dad and Rachel going at it. And Rachel's the one that knocks off that glass, like...
Award?
Yeah.
I think it was an award for, like, writing.
The paperweight.
It was ugly either way.
I mean, no, it was a beautiful, like, sphere when it was whole and not cracked.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
It would have been it would have been beautiful.
I feel like those things are just weird to have in your office.
Yeah, it must have been some sort of, like, award prize thing or whatever.
Usually you put those out for, like, people to see so you can humble brag.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got this award. Best new writer.
So she goes to the boathouse, and I guess the basement of the boathouse where the gasoline is kept for their boat? But I don't think they had a boat, so why do they have a big, like, gas tank? Rich people, whatever.
If you got money, you just have random shit.
Yeah. So she's filling this up, although I don't know what her purpose was. Was her purpose to light the house on fire?
I think she was going to burn the house down.
Yeah.
Crazy.
She fills up a, like, watering can full of this gas, and she turns the nozzle, but it doesn't stop. It still just keeps dripping. Alex shows up, a little drunk, you could tell, from mm-hmm. the party. And as she leaves, she, like, slams the door too hard and knocks the candle over.
Why a candle? You have money. Buy a flashlight.
Yeah. So she hears the bell. Alex hears the bell from the mom. So she goes inside and Anna's walking up the house, and that's when the house explodes. So you realize that Anna's really the one that she's the reason.
Killed them both.
Although technically it was Alex. She shouldn't have slammed the door.
First of all, it was
she
both.
Should have taken the candle with you. Like, you don't leave a lit candle somewhere.
One, she was crazy for getting gas to burn the house down.
Yeah.
Because her dad was getting laid.
Right.
That's a bit extreme. Two, again, what the fuck with the whole leaving it on? Like, I get it, you're mad in the moment.
Right.
Twist until it stops, no matter what.
Always.
It's fucking gas.
Right. I mean, I guess, like, she snapped and she was just...
Not thinking rationally.
Not thinking rationally because the mom was still alive at this point. So, you know, that means it's like, well, how long has this been going on, you know? But then you're getting more and more flashbacks of what happened to, like, Matt. Like, she threw him off the rock.
Which makes sense now with his injury.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's not a boat.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fall from a big rock.
And then you're starting to see scenes where both Anna and Alex were together, but nobody interacted with her. And watching it again, like, you see it. You see nobody moves at the sound of her voice. Nobody says anything to her. Like, when I saw this for the first time, did not see that coming.
That's why, in the beginning of this, I was, like, red flags were like, the sister's dead. I know she's dead. But she's not dead, because I see her.
Yeah.
I was like, and I kept saying it to you, and I was like, the first time you see her, she's wearing the same fucking clothes she did the night she died.
Yep. And then like, she changed clothes.
Oh, she changed. Well, she's a fucking ghost. Figment of her imagination. She can do whatever she wants.
No, you wear what you die in.
Not when they're not real ghosts.
You wear what you wear.
And it's really schizophrenia.
Yeah.
Because she had to have had schizophrenia or something. Oh, she was
fucking crazy. So it was Anna who ended up killing that because Alex just didn't exist. And you also saw it when she was at the police station, because as soon as she said she's drugging Alex, you could see the gears turning in the cop's head, like, okay, we're going to call somebody. We're going to figure this out.
That's why I was like, why the fuck did the cop help her pin her down?
Yep.
I was like, the cop's in on it? The cop's the doctor? Like, that's the doctor that she seduced and killed the kids for. Now he's a sheriff in this town. It's like, it's all one big conspiracy.
The dad's telling the police officer that he... The dad is telling the cop that Rachel had changed her name because she had a boyfriend who used to beat her, and that's why she had a different name. So it's like, ooh, fuck. Anna's back in the psych ward. And her, like, hall buddy? From the beginning, who, you know, when she was leaving, she's like, well, who am I going to tell my stories to? She is walking in the hallway, playing with something in her pocket. Can't see what it is at first, but you can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you figured it out. Her hall buddy is actually Mildred Kemp.
Which, again, I don't fucking understand. Like, it was a cool reveal. But it didn't make sense. Mildred was from, like, the murders happened all the way in the Midwest or whatever. How the fuck does she end up here in a psych ward? And nobody knows where she is, but she's by her name?
Yeah, that's what I didn't understand. So, when it said Kemp is still at large, but you have her name, that would have come through. But if she was crazy, she would have been admitted to a psych ward. You know, if she was insane, yeah, that's where she would have been admitted to.
I guess if they caught her and they never found, like, an updated newspaper article.
Right.
So they still think she's loose.
Right.
Which she knows that she's not loose. Because it's her friend.
Yep. It's a cool little ending.
I mean, it definitely was interesting. I don't know how she would still have those pearls. Don't they, like, take all of your possessions
in the psych ward? Yeah, because she had to cut Rachel's face out of the picture with her fingernail. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Like, she strangles herself with the fucking beads.
I know. Right.
She could kill one of the orderlies.
Yeah, that's
true. She's crazy. She killed 3 kids.
That's true. I like this movie. For people who have never seen it before, it's a nice, like, twist ending that you don't really see coming because mm-hmm. Alex is in the whole movie. Because, you know, she changes clothes. So you don't.
If she didn't change clothes, it would have been so much more.
Right. Apparent. If she was wearing the same thing the whole time, you'd be like, all right, this bitch is a ghost. Like, she's not real. She's just made up in her mind.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she was changing clothes. She was interacting with Anna, but Anna was the only one that. Although some of the scenes did kind of make sense with their reactions, like when Alex is yelling at the dad, like his face and the way that he's reacting is a great, like, response to what she was saying without having to say anything back at her. Just, mm-hmm. like, sitting there frozen in despair or whatever.
Distraught.
Right. So it, like, it makes... kind of makes sense. So that's why it kind of, like, throws you off. Because the whole time you really think that Rachel is Mildred at this point. You really think, yeah. like, they've really set it up for that to really just kind of throw you off completely.
I mean, even with, like, the bathroom scene where they're talking through the door.
Yeah.
Where she's like, oh, you know, I'm gonna stay, but you go, Anna will go.
Right.
She doesn't really acknowledge it.
Right.
She just goes, hello, Anna. Like, you down, Anna? Like, she's still basically playing off of the original thing she said.
Right.
Little fucking details in this movie that I guess for me, because I have seen it, but then I didn't remember it, still some of those things did shock me a little bit.
Right.
Like, I don't remember the cop joining in on it, and, like, it just clicked in my head why.
Right.
She mentioned her fucking sister.
Yep.
Cop knows the sister's dead. Like, just little things throughout this movie. Very good.
Yeah. I'd probably give it like a 9 out of 10. I like it. I like it a lot. And for being a PG-13 is really not bad. Probably one of my favorite PG-13 horror movies.
It's definitely like, you hear the stigma of PG-13 horror where it's like, well, it's PG-13, it can't be fucking good.
Right.
This is good because it has a good story. It keeps you guessing pretty much the whole fucking time.
Right.
And that twist at the end is just, it's really well done. I mean, I'd give it like an 8.5. The only thing I wanted was a little bit more scary. But again, it's PG-13.
Yeah. Right. It was not supposed to be like, you know, it almost kind of made it seem like it was supposed to be a ghost.
Yeah, like it movie. Came across as supernatural.
Yeah. But no, she's just fucking mental.
Yeah.
Like all of that was in her head.
Crazy. Sometimes I wish I could be inside of like that type of person's brain.
A crazy person?
Because like, what? I want to see if they actually see those things.
True.
Like, do they actually see other people who aren't there?
Yeah. I wonder. Huh.
It's like tripping shrooms. Mm.
Don't forget to follow us at /_sluts_podcast on Instagram.
/sluts_podcast Facebook group.
I also started us a Reddit.
Oh, you did?
I did. We're just /sluts on Reddit.
Nice.
I post out some things here and there. Sometimes get a response, not really, but it's just another way to get us out there. If you have Reddit, you can say something to us. I'll always respond. I'm bored.
Send us questions on Reddit.
Yeah.
Add us. Tag us in, like, podcast groups, stuff like that.
Yeah. That'd be great. Let's get the word out, people. If you share it with one friend.
Every one person who shares it with one person is another person.
To share it with another person.
And that's just one more person.
To share with
one more person.
Okay, that's enough. We're going round and round.
That can go on forever.
I know. As always, make good life choices.
And be good people.
That's it. There's no discharge in this one.
No, very PG-13.
Yeah.